Good morning, this is Scott Mitchell with Let the Bible Speak. I want to welcome everyone again to our weekly program. We've been doing this now for, is it 6 weeks, I think? Which blows my mind. I want to welcome everyone, and first of all, I want to start by wishing all the moms out there Happy Mother's Day. It's a good day for them and a day we need to recognize and appreciate them for what they do. And we have many avenues of access to this radio program for you if you want to be involved in this. We have a website that is called letthebiblespeak.faith, and you can go on there and listen to the programs. There is also a link to Facebook and also the Listen to My Radio app on there. If your radio doesn't work as well as you want it to and you've got a smartphone, you can download an app called you don't want to download an app called the Bible Speak.
Well, maybe we need to make
one. You want to download an app called Listen to My Radio, and that will allow you to listen to this program. And if you want to call in and make a comment, agree, disagree, or encourage, or whatever you want to do, the number is 812-365-9864, 812-365-9864. There is also a live chat that my friend, our sound engineer, Theron Hall, has set up. It's called scottmitchell.radio12345.com. scottmitchell.radio12345.com. You've got all kinds of access, and we want you to call in. This is going to be, I've got a friend with me today named Louie Taylor, and we are just going to talk about the Bible. We're just going to have conversations like we oftentimes do, and we want you to be part of that. And we are trying our very best to just present the Bible in its pure form and help people understand. We've gone through authority and we've gone through faith and works and what that means. Last week we talked about whether we can understand the Bible or not, and this week we're going to talk about the importance of spending time with God and His Word, and since we can understand it, and you know, why do we need to do that, and what's the purpose of us doing that? And the reason I think I was motivated to do this talk, Louie, is because there's so much apathy in the religious world about worshiping God. You know, we come to church on Sunday and check our box, and then we're done.
Yeah, people build no relationship with God. I say that in a general sense. Obviously, some people do, but it's a problem in the quote-unquote religious world.
Now, before we go any further, why don't you give us a little bit of background so people know kind of who you are and what you've been doing and kind of why you're here outside of our mutual friend Randy Scott, which I'm not supposed to say his name on the radio. But
yeah, we don't want to embarrass my brother-in-law, Randy, but one of the greatest guys on the planet. But I'm really no one of any great significance, just someone who loves the Lord and tries to understand His Word like we all can. And I've preached the gospel for many years in many small congregations. I've preached 3 years, I guess you'd say, full-time at the Prairie Village Church of Christ, probably in around 2010 to 2012. I'm a deacon at the Taylorsville Road Church of Christ presently, have been so. I lose track of time, 6 months to a year, somewhere around there. And can I just put a plug in for our gospel meeting real quick?
Absolutely.
While you're gathering your thoughts over there, Taylorsville Road Church of Christ in Louisville, Kentucky, 3741 Taylorsville Road. We're going to have a series of lessons by a preacher, a good brother in Christ named Jim Jonas from Centerville, Virginia, May 13th through the 18th. And all of these lessons will be and related in some way to Christ's crucifixion. Lessons from the Cross is what this particular series has been titled.
And on that point, as far as what I'm doing, if you don't know, I've been preaching at the El Bethel Church down the road here for right at a year now. And they used to be called El Bethel Baptist. We have dropped that name and we are now just the church at El Bethel. Our purpose is to just use the Bible, and that's all we've done. We don't use handbooks, creed books, confessions of faith, or anything like that. We just read the Bible, and we meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Bible study, and then at 10:30 for worship. And we meet at the building over the hill, past just I guess it's south of the building, on Wednesday nights at 7 for Bible study. We're in John chapter 7, and having a great study down there. We sit around in what Dan Langford called a kitchen table style study, and we just talk and enjoy our discussion of the Bible, and that's what we need to be doing to know God. And I guess it's a good segue into what we need to be talking about this morning. So in doing this, it's kind of funny this morning, Lou, I was just putting some notes together, and I think I wrote up a pretty good three-point sermon. Because, the point with that God knows us, God values us, and God invites us are the three things I kind of, when I was going through some things, I kind of come up with. So I'll probably have to, you're welcome to use that too, by the way.
I appreciate it. Three-point sermons seem to be the best, although yeah. I'm not very good at nailing just 3 points down.
So the reason we're kind of doing this, you said you'd done a lesson recently pertaining to this idea of picking the good part. So won't you explain where this where your lesson came from, and then we'll go from there.
Well, it just seems to me that Mary and Martha bring out, I don't want to say the worst, but the best, and mm-hmm. it kind of points out the best and worst in all of us when you think about it. I mean, when I preach a sermon, I'm usually preaching on an issue that is I'm directly having some concern with, and being able to, like Mary, quiet myself and sit at Jesus' feet, as it were, listen to him speak. The most important thing that we can really do on this earth is, if we're going to be judged by this word, if Jesus has the words of life, as Peter said he does in John chapter 6, then it's very important that we take this very seriously. And we understand that if we want eternal life in Christ Jesus, then we need to be able to slow down, listen to his word, assimilate that, obey it, and do his will.
Yeah. Would you extend that mic up for him, Theron? That way you won't have to hold it. So
I'll just get closer to
it. That's fine.
I'll just get closer.
Yeah,
just
pull
it in
that.
There. In our relationship with God, and I'm kind of speaking to a lot of people here. I mean, if people in this area are listening to this, this might seem a little hokey, because I don't know how to say it without sounding a little hokey to some people, that God loves us. God wants to know us. And for people that knew me before I was a Christian, this probably does sound a little weird. But as we study and learn how much God wants to know us, we should reciprocate that and want to know God. And he's given us his mind so we can know God. And that just blows my mind to think about. Now, here's what it hinges on, though, Louis. Is God real? Did Jesus really die on the cross? And that boils down to that faith word that we spent some time talking about before. So where does that, in terms of getting somebody started down this road properly, how can we help people understand how God does know us and what we can do to know him?
Well, I mean, obviously, you could turn this into a whole other study about evidences of why we can believe the Bible, but that's not what we're doing we're doing today.
We may do that soon, though. But
right.
Yeah.
Right. But, if God created the heavens and the earth, yes, and all the people in it, and if he created all things good, if there is a God, if there is a good God in heaven, surely he has communicated to us, mm-hmm, his will to us. And surely he has communicated it, as you talked about, mm-hmm, last week, in a way that we can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't leave us in the dark. He would want us to know his will for us and the things that we need to do to make our lives, yeah, best on this earth. And he's communicated that to us through the Bible. So God created us.
Yeah.
He loves us. We're his children.
Yeah.
And he wants us to do his will so we can have the best life on earth and a life eternal with him.
You just mentioned communication.
Yes.
Do you think God is able to clearly communicate with, here's a person's problem. We can say things and not really mean what we say. Even by accident, we can do that. We can be talking and say something like, "Hey, the other day I saw a house on fire running down the street."
I have no idea what you're talking
about. What in the world? So we can say things like that. Or, I've heard people make this kind of joke. Why do we call them apartments when they're built so close together? Why do we drive on parkways and park on driveways? Does God do that in his word?
No. Obviously, as Peter points out in 2 Peter 3, some things are difficult to be understood, but they're not impossible. All things can be understood. And you know what? What I've noticed is the very easiest things in life are not the most rewarding. Sometimes we have to get into this word and dig into it and apply our minds to it, our intellect to it. If we're willing to put in the due diligence, we can and we will understand God's word. Yeah. If we love Him and we love His word, we love His will for us, we can understand it.
Yeah.
We can do it. We can not only understand it, we can do it. We can follow it.
So why would we want to?
Well, I mean, I have very selfish motivations. I love God just for the fact that He's God and He's given me such a good life on earth, but I want to go to heaven.
Yeah.
I want to go to heaven when this very, very short life on earth is over.
You know, a lot of times in the Bible that there's a relationship compared, our relationship with God and Jesus compared to a marriage. And to make a marriage work, you know, let's bring it right down. Let's just get it real basic.
Now you're going to go there, okay?
Yeah, you're married now and got you a little girl and all that, so you understand. I don't. You ask my wife. I'm still learning. God bless her for being so patient with me. But what is required to make a marriage work for people who want to do it and do it right? What's required for that?
How much time do we have in this radio program?
We've got 48 minutes left.
Well, I mean, there has to be mutual respect, obviously, a love for one another. But the communication is key. If Teresa and I, she'll tell you, our communication breaks down quite often. We have to stop and do a reset. Say, okay, say what you said in a different way. But we need to communicate with one another.
Yeah.
And we need to listen, not just speak. I don't know exactly what you're trying to get to extract from me here, but according, you know, in parallel to the Bible, we need to be able to not only, we need to talk to God, speak to Him. It's got to be a two-way street. We got to listen to Him. We got to respect Him.
What about spending time alone? Do married people need to spend time alone?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and it's not, you know, I think we've lost sight of that a lot in our culture, especially with people with multiple children. And do you find it hard to spend time alone?
My wife made the comment yesterday after the graduation party, where she needs a date. So you know, we've got a lot going on, and we need to do that. So how can we, in terms of that?
She needs some ice cream too.
She does. We like, you know that. Anyway, I'm not going to get it. How can we use that to help us in our relationship with God?
Well, we need to find quiet time in prayer and the Word. Jesus did that frequently. And I find it hard to believe there was a busier man than Jesus. I say this, He wasn't just busy. He went about doing the most important work in the universe. And yet He found the time to go to a mountain alone and be with His Father. If Jesus needed to do that, I know that I do. I might have to lose a little sleep. We might have to sacrifice some television time or a time at the lake or whatever. You could do that at the lake.
Yeah, absolutely. In the fishing boat.
As long as you're not forsaking the Lord's assembly on the Lord's
day. That's right. And you know, that's I guess part of the problem. You know, people do forsake worshiping God for all kinds of reasons. And, you know, we've got at El Bethel, we've got some aged people, a lot of illness. You know, we have legit reasons. We've got surgeries, we've got gallbladder problems, I think Rayette has got a surgery coming up, I think June 4th or the 6th, I don't remember which one, I've got it written down somewhere. She's going to have a hernia operation, gallbladder removed, and we've got Ralph's going to get shots in his back to get up with his back, and Peggy's got eye problems and heart arrhythmia, but we've got a lot of things going on, and those are legit reasons. Deer hunting, fishing, a football game, those aren't reasons to be not at worship with your fellow Christians. And that's what I meant by apathy. And part of that's ignorance. People don't understand what God really wants because they don't study the Bibles like they should. You know, I asked you before the show if you had heard that joke about these two guys that were talking. It's this old guy was talking to the other guy and talking about the church, and he said, you know, I've heard that ignorance and apathy are the two biggest problems in the church. And the other guy says, well, I don't know and I don't care. So that's kind of, you know, we have to consider that and be patient with people to help them understand what they need to do.
That was a funny joke, but that's really not a laughing matter.
It's not. I mean, it's funny and cute, but if that's a serious problem with people. And again, it's not, I don't think it's purposeful necessarily, but for some people it probably is. But for some people, they just don't know really what God demands.
Well, we can know.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you brought up the assembly and the worship. Maybe I brought that up.
I think you did.
But that's an important part of spending time with God as well. Mm-hmm. We can't just choose to do that on a personal basis. We need to do that one-on-one with God. But God demands that we do that in a corporate fashion as well with our brothers and sisters in Christ. He did not place us alone on an island.
No, no. But when you look at where's my verse I was going to read? Oh, 1 Peter 2:2 talks about we need to desire the milk like newborn babes, and so we can grow up in salvation, into salvation. I've had 4 kids. I know when they're hungry, there ain't but one thing going to solve the problem. And so what we have to do is develop a hunger to want to know those things. And the only way, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, if that's where it comes from, if our faith comes from knowing God's word, then the more we study, the more we're going to want to study. I mentioned this last week. That's what I found coming into being a Christian, is the more I studied, because I kind of came into it not skeptical, maybe more just not really understanding, but kind of looking for loopholes. And the more I studied, the more I realized I couldn't find a loophole. So the more I studied, the more I want to study. Yeah. And the more, and so that's kind of where it comes from.
You can develop an appetite. That's really the way you do. There are certain things, foods that have been distasteful to me, but as I've went ahead and partook in those things more regularly, I acclimated myself to those. They become not only more palatable, but some of my favorite foods,
like chicken and dumplings, for instance. But
yeah,
anyway,
that was a really hard one to come to life.
I didn't know that about you, but it was. I don't know. My grandma, Opal Mitchell, made the best chicken and dumplings in Crawford County, and I didn't like them for a long time. But I've grown to enjoy chicken and dumplings.
You're a rare bird,
indeed. That and a lot more ways than one, brother. So, you know, this idea. Well, let's go to Luke 10, because we were talking about Luke. We were talking about Luke 10 earlier. No, you're doing great, Louie. And we're talking about Mary and Martha. Let's go back and look at Mary and Martha, because we mentioned that and kind of left it. And what happened? Let's read
the text
and see what's going on.
Would you like for me to read?
Yeah, I want you to read it, Louie, because people need to hear your radio voice.
Theron says I need to get my volume up, so. I was told, actually, by my mother, like you, that I don't know how to whisper, but somehow I do not come across well with the microphone.
I don't. Apparently, according to my wife and kids, don't know how to whisper either. But
all right, we're in Luke chapter 10. We're going to read verses 38 through 42. A short reading, a power-packed little passage of scripture. Now, as they were traveling along, Jesus and his companions, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." And the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her."
Yeah. So, what we see, let's talk about the good part. Is there anything wrong with working hard at our job?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we're commanded to do all our work with all our heart.
And what about, being concerned about family and sickness and taking care of those things? That's essential for
commanded.
Us.
Commanded.
Yeah. And so what we have to do, though, is be purposeful and intentional in making sure we set aside the time to learn about God. Now, and it has to be intentional and it has to be purposeful, otherwise it doesn't get done. Because the urgent thing becomes the thing that we do, and it's not always the most important thing to be doing. And I'm a school teacher, and I've also got a lawn mowing business, and it just kind of got kicked up real big here recently, and I've got 9 days of school left till things calm down.
What do you do in your extra time?
I preach and teach Bible class. So, those things, you know, for me, it's, you know, I've got a little window here at time where it gets kind of crazy, then I get my summer off. And so I can kind of, I'm more flexible than a lot of people as far as that's concerned. Somebody, you know, you work at Ford, right?
Yes, sir.
How many hours a week?
40.
40 hours a week. And so you've got a full-time job. Now, would you get your summers off?
No.
No. Okay, I just wondered.
I'm not like some teachers.
But for someone like you who does work full-time, you've got a wife, you've got a cute little girl named Jillian, she's, and all these things going on in your life. So what are some things you do to make sure you get the time, to make sure you pick the good part?
Well, like you said,
how are you purposeful?
You have to be intentional. You have to be purposeful. And you know, sometimes I fall short at it, Scott. Sure, I'll be honest with you. I like to try to get up extra early in the morning. Okay. My starting time at work is 6 a.m. So that means me getting up at 4 a.m.
Yep.
And I don't always pull that off like I'd like to. And but you have to be intentional about that. But you know, we can pray to God at any time, anywhere. Mm-hmm. And we should avail ourselves of that, but we should also have some the quiet of the morning, mm-hmm. before the sun has arisen, but you know, before the rooster has crowed and people are have gone about the rat race. That's just an ideal time for me to spend, just to still myself in God's presence, to talk to Him, to read Scripture. I always like to bookend it. I mean, I like to make sure that my family and myself end the day with reading Scripture and with praying.
Yeah.
And we have a mantra at our home. It's still, quiet, and reverent. We have to try to teach our daughter that. We have to teach ourselves that as well. We have to still ourselves, be quiet, and be reverent. That's what we see Mary doing here,
mm-hmm. yeah.
in this passage. Martha is running around like a chicken with her head cut off, mm-hmm. doing all these preparations. That word for preparations is where we get the word deacon. It's service is another word for that. She was being a servant.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing, but at that time, Scott,
it wasn't.
Jesus was in her house. Can you imagine?
No, I cannot. By the way, if you're just tuning in, I forgot, this is Scott Mitchell with Let the Bible Speak. I'm here with a really good friend named Louie Taylor. If you want to call in, number's 812-365-9864. We'd love to hear from you. If you've got suggestions on what you do to study or how you get, you know, if you want to just add something to this, please call. We'd love to hear from you. You know, and Lou, we had four kids, and so when you get home from work and you get homework done and you spend some time playing, and then you get baths done, and then you get them in bed, and then about, I don't know, 10:30, you sit down and fall asleep. Yeah. And so that's why I think it's important for that morning time for you know. And of course, I'm spoiled again. I get in 9 days. I get my summer back, and so that I don't have that, you know, for 9 months.
That's seasonal.
Yeah. And so, but and it's good to have, but it's still got to be purpose. Because I'm telling you, I can get busy. There's more work to do than I can get done. And if I'm out work, a lot of times my kids will look at me. I will be out working, especially when I lived out in Hardinsburg and 11 acres. We'd be working. I'd be working outside, and my son would say, "Hey, Dad, I'm kind of hungry.
Forget to eat."
I'm like, "Dude, what time?" He's at 3:00. We had been out there all, you know, from 8:00, and I didn't even think about. And so we just let life get us so busy that we forget.
Martha was distracted.
Yes.
By all of her serving.
Yeah. Romans. I'm going to go to Romans 12 and read this. I'm going to ask you a dumb question, but I think it'll make a point. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." And I'm going to stop right there. When we talk about sacrifices, we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. You know, I really need to do a show about this replacement theory thing, about how we replace the temple, we replace the priest, we replace the sacrifice. As Christians, that's what we do. Here's your question, and I think you'll get it right. In the Old Testament, when the priest was sacrificing an animal, how committed was the animal to the sacrifice?
Well, I don't know if he came along willingly or not.
But was it a complete sacrifice when it was said and done?
Absolutely.
So what I want to compare ourselves to, when we're going to talk about that animal being completely committed to the sacrifice, we have to ask ourselves if we are. And there are times that I'm not. Now, I've got to work on that. There are times that I let things get in the way, and I'm not as committed as I need, and that's shameful to say.
No, you're right. And, you know, I think about, I hope none of my supervisors are listening. I work harder at home than I do at work. I mean, when I get home from work, I go to work most of the time. So
hopefully that your supervisors would expect you to be the type of dad you're supposed to be. But hopefully they are listening. Maybe they'll do it. Maybe it
will. But you know, yeah, absolutely. But not just our private time, with our family time as well. I mean, a good time is if you are one of those blessed families who take the time to have supper together.
Yeah.
After supper, make it a time of quote-unquote devotional.
Yeah.
Reading some scripture, having some prayer. You have that factored in every day. And we eat supper every day. We don't always do it together, though.
Yeah.
But that when we do, that's a good time to do that. Yeah. And you have the whole family together.
And it's hard.
It is.
You know, I've got a daughter that's working Chick-fil-A in Albany. I've got one in college, and the other one is going to college. And we've got kids in tutoring. We've got kids. And Satan's gonna do everything he can to distract you with everything he can. And I know that's kind of, people are, they want to believe in God, but they kind of want to ignore Satan. But we can't ignore the fact that he's out there working against us. And I told somebody a couple weeks ago, I was talking to a guy named Dan Edwards down in Tennessee, went down for a graduation party, and he did a talk about connection and how important it is we're connected with God and how Satan tries, you know. And I was coming down here to the radio show a couple weeks ago, and this thought went through my head. Who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? That wasn't God talking to me.
Absolutely.
And so we have to, and I'm not saying Satan was whispering in my ear.
No.
That thought was in my head
of
this doubt and fear.
Well, you bring that up. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No,
that's fine. We were talking about distractions. What did Jesus say to Martha? Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. So we really got three factors there: distractions, being worried, and being bothered, agitated. I don't know about you, but when I'm worried, my temperament's not at its best state.
No.
I can snap at people. I can be a very agitated, irritated person.
Yeah, and when we're fearful of not getting to do what we want to do or misunderstand, you know, the a mask for fear is anger.
Absolutely.
That's what just,
word absolutely a lot.
Yeah, well, absolutely, but I love that word. I don't know anyway. But that, we have to be careful about that, because that can hinder us in so many ways. Because then we get to feeling like, well, we're bad dads, we're bad husbands, we're lousy Christians, and so why even bother? Yeah. And so Satan will use those things to hinder us from studying. Because what good is it going to do anyway if I'm such a lousy person? And we've got to turn that around and understand the difference even between guilt and shame. Because, you know, guilt says I've done something wrong. Guilt says I've made a mistake. Shame says I am a mistake. Which we can fall into that.
Yeah,
and that's where
guilt is a good tool, a good motivation for repentance. Shame
is not. Shame we cover
can
up.
Shut you down.
You know, we feed it. We're an obese society. We drug it. And we pour alcohol into it and try to hide it,
yeah.
But shame doesn't help us. So if you're out there in that situation, you're feeling like, God doesn't love me, why would I even try? Yes, he does.
Yes,
yes he does. And God's right. If you're in your house right now and you're sitting there thinking, God's outside on your porch waiting for you to invite him in. He's never left you. He's never going to leave you.
Well, let's look at Mary's words here, Scott, to go along with that. Or Martha's words, I'm sorry. She asked the Lord, do you not care? And that's coming.
Boy.
When we feel that way. So have you ever felt that way, that God doesn't care?
Yeah.
Or maybe that no one cares what you're going through. You're caring, you're doing all the work. Everything's laid on your shoulders. You're being pulled in 1,000 directions like Martha was. And that, I don't know about you, but that upsets me, mm-hmm. when I feel that way. And that makes me worry, and it makes me agitated. It bothers me. But we got to understand that, like with the situation with Martha and Mary, Jesus was there at their house. That didn't happen every day for them, so she didn't take advantage of that good opportunity. We have that opportunity every day with the Bible. We can stop and sit at Jesus' feet every day. Single day, any moment of the day, and we should choose moments to do that when those times of worry and fear and shame seep in. We don't need to go inward. We need to look outward to the Word. We need to look upward to God, and prayer is what we need to do at times like that. Yeah. What are some of the things you worry about?
Well, it's... Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I got four kids.
Yeah.
I worry about them. I worry about getting all the stuff done I need to get done. I worry about, you know, not worry. I don't like to use the word worry. That's the wrong word. I'm concerned.
Okay.
About getting my, you know, this morning I was working. We had a Bible study, teen Bible study at the house last night. I'm going down to Western Kentucky today to move my daughter from the dorm into an apartment. I've got to make sure my sermon's done. I've got to make sure I'm ready for class tomorrow morning. So for Ralph's class,
you're like the rest of us. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
plus I've got some yards to mow that they're just going to wait because it's just grass.
Well, there'll just be more to mow.
Yeah.
Which one of you, by worrying, could add a single hour to his lifespan? Jesus asked in Luke chapter 12:25.
Yeah.
You can take hours away from your life more than likely by worrying, but you can't add any, at least quality, to that life by worrying. And we all worry. There's a lot of worryings about worry in the Bible. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself, Jesus said. So that's another tool that Satan uses to keep us away from God and His Word and His assembly.
You know, we think about God valuing a way to alleviate some of that weight. You look at like Luke 12:7 and Matthew 10:29-31, where Luke talks about how God knows every hair in your head and that you're of more value, and He knows every sparrow that falls, but you're more valuable than that. And so we've somehow got to figure out how to balance that, you know, and
we also have to learn to cast our cares, anxieties upon God. We hold on to them.
Yeah.
We internalize them.
Yeah.
We keep them. We complain about them, but we don't give them to the person who can actually do something about them.
And again, that's going to be foreign to some people. Because they don't understand the value. I made the comment when I was preaching a couple weeks ago that I can't, and it's not that I'm not saying people are bad people, but there's a different worldview. I can't go to any family member and ask advice about things as a dad or a husband or a work situation if I've made a mistake or something like that, because they have a different worldview. A lot of my family, if I make a mistake at work, a lot of my family would say, and neighbors, well, is there any way you can cover that up so nobody knows about it? Or if instead of, you know, a Christian would say, okay, well, what happened? Let's deal with it. I'll stand with you. Let's deal with it. You got to be honest about it. It's a different worldview. And I'm not saying they're bad people. They just don't see things the way a Christian does. And so when you talk about giving your worries to God, is that what? What's that? I didn't know.
Well, you got to have a relationship with Him before you can do that, right?
Yeah,
you have to know about Him.
We
got to
start there.
Yeah. So not just everybody can do that.
Yeah.
You don't. Not everyone has the privilege of going to God in prayer in a way that is meaningful, in a way that is relational, like you and I talking to one another as friends. You know, not everybody has that kind of has established that kind of rapport with God.
And what's the hint? Does God hinder that? Does God want everybody to have
Absolutely.
That? I guess, you know, the Bible says God's not willing that anyone should perish, that all should come to repentance. Does you really think that all means all?
All means all.
And so
He's given that opportunity to every single person.
Yeah. And so we've got to spend time helping people understand that this is possible. You know, it's... Matthew 6:24, talking about serving two masters. We can't serve two masters. You know, if we're trying to serve the world and are only concerned about those worldly things and trying to make sure that maybe I'm the best employee. And that's, I do want to be the best employee. I've not always been the best employee. But if that's my only concern, I'm missing out on a big, big part of my life.
Well, when you're at work, you should try to be the best employee.
Yeah.
And when you're sitting in front of this microphone, you should try to be the best radio host, and but you know they're more. Mary got it right. Mary, I've learned to have just a greater appreciation and love for Mary because she truly understood it. When Jesus is here,
we
stop doing everything we're doing and we sit down at His feet.
Yeah,
and we listen to Him.
Yeah, I saw a T-shirt the other day and it upset me. This little girl had this shirt on and talking about basketball. I can't remember exactly. It said basically the ball becomes your friend, the court becomes your home. I can't remember. And the last line was the game becomes your life. And that's what happens to us. Yeah. We get so wrapped up that we neglect the better part.
Jesus has to be our life because He's the only one that can give us eternal life. That everything in this earth that gives meaning to us, we're going to leave it behind. We brought nothing into this world. We'll take nothing out.
That's a great point. I didn't even think about this. I don't know why. This is stupid of me not to think about this. The way, if we become, you know, Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. If we do that, if we start with being a Christian, because we'll be the best employee we can be. We'll be the best dad. We'll be the best husband.
We'll try our hardest.
As far as which, that's going to feed us. But when we don't start with that base of being a Christian first, because I can't be a dad who is also a Christian. I have to be a Christian
first. That's the worldview thing that you talked about. You have that bedrock underneath you.
And so I'm glad you said that, because that's really what we have to start working on. And it takes time. If you're, you know, if somebody's just starting, it's going to take time to shift that thinking. But we can do it to become more Christ, be more aware of Jesus than we are of the world, and the world takes care of itself.
Well, it's like Mary. Every time we see Mary, that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' sister in the Bible, she's at Jesus' feet.
Yeah.
When Lazarus died, she threw herself at His feet and said, Lord, if You had been here, my brother wouldn't have died, John chapter 11. And then before the crucifixion, she is at His feet, pouring out that precious ointment upon those precious feet. I can't help but believe the fact that she so willingly dropped to her knees to His feet made it so much easier for her to pour out that costly nard, that spiked nard, onto His feet. She understood that everything she had in this world, it paled in comparison to the value of having Jesus in her life and bowing down to Him and just listening to those precious words of life. I mean, she truly understood on the deepest level of what it meant to have Jesus.
Yeah.
Not just to like Jesus, to know about Jesus, to believe in Jesus. Jesus was her life, and she knew it.
And if you're a Christian or non-Christian, this is how you can, if you're out there and a Christian, we'll really need to be aware of this. I went to Tennessee last week for a graduation party for some kids. We went home and met some families down there, and we stayed at a guy's house named Ron Edwards. They call him Pappy. He's a gem, absolute gem of a human being. And he was talking about moving, and there was a guy, a real estate agent, was driving him and his wife around, showing them houses. And had, you know, vulgar language, and he said they were both kind of offended, didn't know what to do about it. They're riding around with this guy. Well, they find a church to go visit on Sunday morning, and they walk in and sit down, and that guy's up front of the church building leading worship, you know, was serving Lord's Supper or whatever he was doing, and they realized they couldn't worship there. If you're in that, you know, if you can remove yourself from God that much, where you separate that part of you, if you've compartmentalized that Christian part of your life to that point where you leave it behind when you're not at church, say, we've got to be aware of what we're doing. And it's easy to do. You know, you go to Walmart and you get in checkout lane and people are cutting you off and get frustrated, or people in traffic and you get frustrated, but we can't compartmentalize our lives and separate. I'm not a dad and a teacher, and then I'm a Christian, and I'm as Shannon Schaefer called me, the mowing minister from Marengo. I'm not, you know, I'm not, I you can't separate being a Christian from being a dad. You can't separate being a Christian from being an employee. You can't separate being a Christian from being a neighbor or a family member. And I think that's what we try to do.
He is the fountain from which all blessings flow. Yeah. He is the wellspring of life.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can't, and I think you mentioned serving two masters. You can't do it. You know, Mary gave the Lord her undivided attention.
Yeah.
She placed all things at secondary at best. Mm-hmm. To the Lord, to her relationship with the Lord. And, you know, the next day Jesus was going to be on his way to Jerusalem, and Mary was going to be in the kitchen with Martha making preparations. But what she garnered there, sitting at Jesus' feet, that she was going to be able to cherish that in her heart, ruminate on that long after that meal that Martha prepared was gone. So, yeah, this was a lifestyle.
Hmm?
It wasn't even a lifestyle. It was a life.
Yeah.
It was her life.
Yeah. And again, it's not impossible to shift that. It's just we have to be mindful and start the shift. Even I've known, you know, professing Christians who had this issue of compartmentalizing their lives, and we just have to start working on that, being aware. It's really more of an awareness thing. I wouldn't even call it apathy. It's just we don't realize what we're doing.
Oh, and we want to make sure, and I'm coming across pretty strong on these issues, that you know, we're not here to put anybody down or make you feel ashamed.
No.
But try to encourage you, like you point out, make improvements one at a time, and one area of your life at a time. But have an awareness of these things. Do an honest evaluation. The Bible tells us in several places that we need to examine ourselves and to make sure that we're in the faith. We need to do personal inventory.
And probably the hardest thing for me, you know, the most aware I'm still working on my short temperedness, and I said something to my son the other day. What? And I heard myself in the way I sounded. You lousy human being, because I just sounded so mean. I don't have to do that.
Praise the Lord, though. You had your antennas up, and you realized that.
But this has been that my.
The struggle's real. The struggle's real.
I've got a 20-year-old daughter. You think I'd have it right by now?
No,
but I'm still working on it. And what Louis is saying is, we all are working. We're going to work on these things till we die. It's not like one day we wake up and, hey, I got this thing figured out. I am a bag of chips and all that. We're never going to be there.
The reason why we're having this talk on this particular subject is because these are things that I struggle with.
Yeah. And so we just want to, my purpose for doing this thing, you know, taking a Saturday morning and coming down here I'm now driving to Crawford County 7 days a week from Palmyra. I never even thought about that. I'm driving to Crawford. But I want to try to help people understand what I didn't understand. I mean, like I said last week, the only difference between me and those family members and those neighbors and friends whose lives are a mess. I teach kids whose lives are absolute messes. My children couldn't survive in some of these homes. They wouldn't know how. The only difference, the only reason I'm not right there too, is because somebody said, do you want to study the Bible? And I said, why not? It's the only difference. There is nothing, there will be nothing keeping me from being in that same place they are and being divorced and being an alcoholic or, you know, whatever. And I'm not saying everybody at this in my family is divorced and alcoholic. For those people whose lives are a mess, I could very easily be right there with them.
Let me read a passage of scripture. Titus chapter 3, mm-hmm. verse 2 tells us to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Verse 3, for we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, appeared and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of our own deeds done in righteousness. So we all mm-hmm. have dealt with these things or are currently dealing with these kinds of things. I know Theron has a friend online who's dealing with grief right now that's really mm-hmm. kind of keeping her derailed from a relationship with God. She just has gotten so overwhelmed with that that, that she has a hard time seeing out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting to look at her specific case because, I mean, she actually talks about, you know, prayer has kind of helped her a lot get through it. But yet she still deals with the reality of that separation from her husband. And she was extremely close with her husband. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, she said that when she's talked to counselors, they said, wow, your relationship was really unusual. To be that united together and that close to one another mm-hmm. is not common in marriage. And so when she lost her husband, she really felt like she lost part of herself. And I think when I heard about the topic, one of the reasons I thought of even bringing it up is, you know, there's more difficult things in life than making, prepping dinner, drawing us away from God. Now, in her case, I think she is prayerful to God. But it, then again, it, I know it sounds cliche, but in the end, when we're dealing with life struggles, without a doubt, the answer is God. And I know that sounds cliche. Yeah, I know it sounds like, oh, they always preach that.
The simple things are right. Most profound.
Right, but it's just one of those things that time and time again, you get hit over the head with, you know what? Why didn't I take this to God? You know, and when I say that, I'm afraid sometimes people think, oh, that means God will come in and solve my problems for me. No. It's like, you know, here's the funny part. God answers prayer, but not in ways you expect. Mm-hmm. And well, and we might even talk about, I mean, Jesus himself understands our pain yeah. at a level that we often forget. And I think that in of itself, the fact that Christ, I mean, obviously when Lazarus died, Jesus himself said, hey, he's asleep. He knows this. And yet when everybody else was weeping, even Jesus wept. So I think that speaks to God's compassion, mm-hmm. right? And I think God's not necessarily going to magically solve our problems, but what he will do is offer himself. Yeah. And that's the best solution for everything. I know it sounds cliche,
it does,
but even as mature Christians, we keep coming back to that and going, you know what? Why didn't I take this to God first? Why did I have to wait until it was a crisis or was willing to weigh on me? And then I thought to take it to God. But again, it's a lesson we learn over and over again.
I say one thing. Yeah. If we lose everything and everyone in our life, and yet we have God, yeah. we have everything.
Right.
We have everything we need mm-hmm. if we have God.
And that sounds hokey.
It's absolutely true.
But
what is the truth of the matter, Scott? We will lose everything in our life. We will lose everyone in our life.
Since you said that, I have another Isaac Hall
anecdote.
We're sitting in class one day, and we're talking about our lives with God. And Isaac, what is Isaac? Is he 18 now?
He's 19.
He's 19.
Yeah.
He's sitting in class, and we're talking about this. And I said, What is it that God asks of us? And Isaac, in his engineering face, furrowed his brow a little bit. He said, well, everything. He said, and then he paused, and he said, but you know, when you think about it, ain't really that much. What do we really have?
Nothing that God didn't loan us.
I mean, nothing. And that's why, you know, we talk about, I know Randy doesn't like for me to bring his name up, but
don't mention Randy Scott's name. He really
is good about just sharing his stuff, because he says it's not mine anyway.
One of my favorite Randy Scott quotes is,
Randy Scott?
Did you say Randy Scott?
Does this affect my salvation?
Yeah.
No matter what's going on in my life, I can stop and ask the question, okay, does this affect my relationship with God? And if it doesn't, I don't need to worry about it too much, really.
None. And so that, again, that's a worldview thing we got to get. If we're worried about this world so much, what am I going to get? How fast am I going to get it? How high can I stack it? We're missing everything. I've mentioned this before, I've got a garage full of tools. I'd like to use them. Maybe when I retire. You know, I got a table saw and a radial arm saw combined. That saw spins around, you use it for, you make your own, it's good to put router bits on it and make your own, like, trim and stuff. I unloaded the thing last year in my garage, and where I unloaded it is where it's still sitting. I haven't even touched it. I haven't turned it on. I don't even know, I guess it come, I bought it from my brother-in-law's father-in-law, I'm assuming it works. I haven't touched it.
You're gonna have a hard time getting your money back if it doesn't.
I haven't touched it. And so I don't, But you know what? What has shamed me in the last year, not guilted me in the last. We all have 24 hours a day, and I used to think I was studying. I said, "Well, you know, I studied." What I've done in the last year to help teach people at El Bethel should shame me from what I was doing the previous years. The number of books I've read, and the number of sermons I've listened to on CDs and cassettes, and the conversations I've had with people, the phone calls I've made, the things I'm doing to help. Because it's one thing to believe something, but it's something else to try to teach what you believe to somebody else and help them understand why you believe it and what the foundation is to that. I'm just ashamed of myself because I had the same amount of time before.
We can all do better.
Yeah, we need to just take steps to do that. There was nothing hindering me from studying more, except me. But it's about it's a priority. When you think about Martha, Mary and Martha, what was the priority at the time? What was the important thing? And we've just got to keep, like you said, as far as the salvation thing, is keep important things, keep the most important things in the forefront of our minds all the time. The rest of the stuff is just static. It takes care of itself.
And we're going to have tragedies in our life and things like that. They're going to blow us away. They are.
Yes.
And God understands that. And He made us that way. And but if we don't have that, I use the word relationship a lot, if we don't have that firmly established during those times, it's hard to develop them during those times.
You've heard of Maslow, right? And his hierarchy of needs. Yeah. He was wrong about some things because he talks about our physical needs.
Hmm.
Our most important need is not food, water, and shelter. It's connection. It is connection. And the most important connection is with God. And when you read through the scripture, and it talks about being with Jesus, it's about connection and wanting to know God, it's about connection. And what we're doing with, you know, when you go to Acts, when those people came together that had become Christians and were with one another, that's connection. That's what we thrive on more than any. And you don't believe me, come look at my students who don't have connection, who don't have parents, who don't have family, who don't have connection. It absolutely eats these kids alive. And if you're, it'll eat an adult alive.
They're going to find connection with something or someone.
Right. And that's what happens.
They're going to be looking to fill that hole, that void within them, that God placed there.
And so, and there's a God-sized hole inside all of our hearts.
And I think of what Jesus said when he quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, when he said to Satan, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." That
we've only got 7 minutes left, brother.
I know.
Yeah. All the time and thought, woo.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I think that really is leading up to this. Is what Moses said there. The Lord humbled them in verse 3 of Luke 8 and fed you with manna that you did not know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord.
Yeah.
We'll starve ourselves to death of the things that really matter. We're focused on Maslow's
hierarchy of needs.
Yes. Yeah. Food, drink, food, water, whatever it was. We need those things. Things are important. The things that Martha was doing was important, but not
they're not
as
the most important.
Important.
Yeah. So if you want to add anything to that, number is 812-365-9864. And if you have anything to add to this, make corrections. If you want to disagree with us, call in. That's fine with me. You can call me an idiot. I don't care. I'm telling you right now, we're going to welcome these calls with love and concern and compassion for everybody, whoever you are.
Oh, yeah.
And we want to help people. I'm not here to make enemies. When I talk about El Bethel, how we don't use creed books and handbooks and all those kind of things, I'm not trying to cause a disagreement with people. It's just an emphasis that we have placed on God's, on studying God's Word and trying to get to know that. And so I think all three of us, all four of us, including Priscilla here, are in the same boat. We just want to know who God is. And I want to help other people know who God is too and take advantage of what He offers. Because I didn't for a long time. I was lost. I talk about being a lost ball in tall weeds. I had no idea where I was going. I didn't know why. I didn't have any direction. I didn't have any purpose. I didn't have any reason. It didn't make any, nothing made any sense. And now it does. And I want people to know that. And I don't know how to get out there to enough people and help people know that. But I think that's our concern, isn't it, for what we're doing?
I say absolutely for the 50th time today. Absolutely.
And so that's our goal. It's not about division. It's not about argument. I'm not trying to entice people to a public debate. I just want to talk to people in a civil way about what God's Word says.
Theron and I were talking about that on the drive up here, about that's what the Apostle Paul did. He met people where they were, mm-hmm. in Athens in Acts 17. He told them about the God of heaven, who they made a temple or a shrine to the unknown God. And he was very courteous to them, mm-hmm. and let them know, yes, you're a religious people. Now let me explain that God to you.
And that's all we can do. I mean, I can't force it on people. I probably tried and shouldn't. I don't know, but we just got to be open to people.
Well, some believed and most didn't, but some believed.
Yeah, yeah.
And some changed their lives because of that.
Yeah. And the lives start to look different then, slowly and gradually. You know, I remember people saying to me things like, you know, Scott, you might not ought to say that. Or, you know, because I'd say something and just didn't realize what it sounded like. Or, I mean, I was sitting around one time and I had these baggy shorts on and I had my leg crossed. My shorts were hanging open. And Bill Buchanan, an elder at Galena, was like, I thought he was having convulsions. He was trying to get me to look down at my pant leg, letting me know my underwear was showing under my leg, you know.
Your shorts were wearing this thing. Yeah.
And so all these little things just kept happening, and people were patient and people were helping. That's all I want to do.
See, you're liable to hear anything here.
I'm telling you. But that's the truth. It's just a gradual thing.
Truth. You're an open book, brother.
Appreciate that. We just have to keep helping, just keep moving. I don't want people to be discouraged about what God doesn't want people discouraged.
No.
God's our biggest cheerleader. He's not this gotcha God. You know, these people that say, well, you know, Tom, we've talked about baptism some, and they'll say, well, what about the person that's on their way to be baptized and they die in a car accident? What? Let me ask this. What kind of a God do you think we serve? And that's from Paul Earnhardt. God is not a gotcha God. It's not like he's up there in heaven watching us down here and people get really close to salvation and we get up there at judgment. He goes, you know, you almost made it, but I got you. I got you. You died in a car wreck before you were back. God, what? That's not God. That's not God at all.
That's not the God I read about in the Bible.
No,
but we got to be careful that we don't use that what if one in a billion situation to make an excuse for not obeying the word of God.
We know what God needs from us. He's told us. He's communicated it clearly. We have the revealed. You talk about Jesus being in the room. We have the revealed mind of God on my lap right now.
Right now. And probably have several copies of it in your home.
Last night, that teen study, I was pulling Bibles off my shelf, and I keep telling people I don't know how many copies of the Bible. I kept pulling Bibles out I didn't know we even had. I had a lavender one. I had a pink one. I don't even know where they came from.
And if you've got a smartphone,
there's a bunch on there.
So, you have no reason not to access the Word
of
God.
I just want to encourage people to do that. I mean, Christian, non-Christian, apathetic, unsure, just pick up a Bible and start reading the thing. And call.
Yeah. Call this number and talk to Scott about things. If you have any questions, disagreements.
Come see us at El Bethel. Now, it's going to look different than what you're used to because we're just using the Bible. It may sound a little different because we're just using the Bible. But we're just trying to worship God to the very best of our ability. And again, we have literally 1 minute, so I'm going to put my plug in. We have a singing next Friday night at 7 o'clock at El Bethel, and we're going to have a lot of people there. We're going to sing, and we're going to praise God. And then a guy named John Bingham is organizing this thing, and he's going to do a talk about when the Word was discovered in the Old Testament, how people reacted to it. I think that's what he's doing. Come out and be with us.
You won't regret it.
And you know,
you get a lot out of that.
Again, tomorrow morning, worship at 9:30 Bible study, and at 10:30 we're gonna talk about some lessons from the book of Esther. I sat down the other day and read that book through, and I thought, man, I couldn't quit reading it. It's such a great book, and that's what we're gonna talk about Sunday morning. Come out and be with us. and just come and see. Come and see. And if you're closer to Louisville, get a hold of Louie Taylor over there and ask him where to go. You got a phone number?
807-3211, 502 area code, 807-3211.
Again, we're not worried about building a church. We're worried about building the church. We just want people to come to God wherever you are, whatever your need may be. I've got people in French Lick I can send you to. I've got people in Indy. I've got people in Kentucky, Tennessee. Wherever you are, I can find you somebody to study with, and that's all we want to do. So we're going to, again, 9:30 Sunday, 10:30 worship, 7 o'clock Wednesday. We got to quit because we're a minute over. God bless everybody, and this is Scott Mitchell asking you to let the Bible speak.